Welcome to Geordie Lass and Doc Sass. One day, a Geordie and a Canadian walk into a bar and decide to start a podcast about relationships. And what a topic that is. No subjects are off limits. Get in touch today with us at geordielass.com or email info@geordielass.com and let us know what you think and what we should talk about. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hello, hello.
Hello, how's it going?
It's good. It's good. If I'm hallucinating a bit today, just don't mind. It's tax season, everybody, and some of us are pulling all-nighters, and I have pulled an all-nighter.
If you've been a regular listener to this podcast, you will know Anna always avoids doing her taxes.
What can I do?
She does always get there in the end.
You know what I realize, like every year, because you have to be in the zone, right? There's this like zone of focus, because every year you forget what you did last year and you're like, how did I make these calculations? That was ridiculous. So you have to get into the zone, and I think you have to like pull an all-nighter. Like you have to get in and not get out until it's done. So I went into this sort of retreat.
There's no taking a break, is there? Because then you can't remember where you left off. You can't remember. Did I do this bit? Had I calculated that? Oh. And then you have to go back and rework it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like pain. Literally, that was like, yes, exactly. Those were the hours of my night. So it was insanity. And I came out at around 9 in the morning after an all-nighter, finally sent stuff off. So yes.
Well, I hope you've had some good daytime naps today then.
You know, and it's funny when you have, I haven't been able to sleep all that much. So that's where this podcast is going to be a bit squirrely. It's going to be very primal, let's say. But I will say that I have remained a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen, and we could all be pretty happy about that.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear
it. For another year.
I think I must have been coming out in sympathy with you because I woke up at 3:45 this morning.
Oh.
And could not get back to sleep for love nor money.
Oh, that is a terrible time to wake up.
It is. It's crappy.
Oh, no. Oh,
no amount of meditation was getting me back to sleep.
No, it's not. I hate to say it. It's that 4 a.m. waking. Like, you're pretty much... Yeah, and then it's just best to get up and not fight it. It feels terrible.
Yeah, you get to a certain point. I think I managed till about, or I tried to resist it until about sort of 4:30, 4:45. And then I was like, nah, this is not working.
Yeah.
So I embraced the day nice and early.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so you've been up for a lot of hours. All right, so this is going to be an interesting podcast.
We can do this.
We can totally do this.
We can rise totally. To this challenge.
Oh my gosh, totally. If there's some strange content, you'll know why, that it's coming from the back recesses of our mind. We have no frontal lobe functioning. This is going to be raw and untethered. Oh gosh. Good times.
Should we start with the love desk?
Well, let's go to the love desk and see what the sleepy love correspondent is saying.
So the sleepy love correspondent has a nice little quote for you that I spotted this morning when I was doing some very early morning scrolling.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so the quote, so it's a lovely, it's actually quite a nice picture I'll describe it for you. So it's two thumbprints that are kind of crossed over, so it makes the shape of a heart.
Oh, yes.
Quite sweet. And then the comment below says, it's not about having the perfect relationship. It's about finding someone who matches you and will go through everything without giving up.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That just gave me lots of pause. Yeah.
Pause and reflection.
Yeah.
We've got this kind of unrealistic view that relationships are not a good relationship if there's any sort of conflict. As human beings, we're trying to actively avoid any sort of disagreement, unsettlement, unhappiness. Mm-hmm. And we just want it to be kind of all the kind of roses and the just lovely, happy, cherished times together. But, it's, you know, the reality just isn't like that. I think this is why we love reality TV. Because great to see inside other people's houses and see kind of some of the challenges and issues that other people face, and it makes us feel normal. Yes. To go, actually, I thought it was just me, or I thought that we were seriously dysfunctional. Uh-huh. But I realized actually other people are having arguments and unhappy times too.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, gosh, what do I think about that? At the same time, though, like the drama of constant chaos of fighting and punching below the belt, that isn't functional either. And I think that there's like there's people who sort of, let's say, fight more than others. But I will say that we should not be afraid of the fight within, which is messy feelings that come up to us, messy feelings of expectations. Like, you can always be shocked at just how we misunderstand each other. We think we're on the same page and our partner does something that is so out of this world ridiculous that you're like, are you doing this on purpose? But no, they just literally did not get the memo. They didn't get your brainwaves. They didn't understand. So really the fight is within. And that's, the fight is within. And there may be some sort of raised voices, conflict, etc. But
I mean, there is always going to be this kind of, as you say, times when we don't understand each other, we really can't seem to connect, we can't understand, like, why is it that you just don't get how I'm feeling or how I'm thinking. I think the struggle is then, how do you communicate that in an effective way? So there's always going to be a time when we've got to communicate something that's different or isn't necessarily going to be received in the way that we want it to be. Mm-hmm. And it's then down to us to try and find a way to communicate that in the right way.
Yes. Yeah.
Fight right, fight fair. But yeah, you're still going to fight.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
Because kind of rolling over and not sharing your views isn't kind of the right answer.
No,
that's when you get into slip into artificial harmony, and all you're doing is storing up some problem for later on in life.
Oh, you completely are. Later on in life, try next week. Yeah, for sure.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I've gotten nowhere by not explaining my needs. Absolutely nowhere. Yeah. Totally. Mm. A lovely friend reached out, hey, how's it going? And I realized the last time I talked to them was like, 6-8 months ago. And so much has changed. I've learned so much and I've grown so much. I've been so humbled. And it was so crazy to kind of correspond and to say, wow, like I have mellowed. I have gotten braver. I have gotten more vulnerable. I have gotten less anxious. I've gotten less avoidant, less insecure. I've faced a lot of internal demons. I've come out the other side. So, gosh, yeah, don't be afraid of conflict. The inner stuff too. And wow, in a relationship, oh gosh, a good relationship is one that just, oh my gosh, that you learn and get your butt kicked and you grow and you develop and you get stronger. So cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, it talks to that point around how much you can develop a relationship by just taking some ownership and some responsibility for yourself. Mm-hmm. And doing some of that work, as you say, to really look at what are the feelings that are coming up for me? What is it that I'm doing? How am I influencing the dynamics in our relationship? Mm-hmm. And that's something that we talked about when we discussed, relationship reset. It's a common question is, well, what if my partner won't do the work? Like that comes up a lot, whether it's coaching or, embarking on some kind of, solo mission. But I think it's always possible to affect some positive change by just moving, making some very small adjustments. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised how far they can go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got it. Yes. Yeah. Ah, nice. All right, guys. Get your big girl pants on, as they say. Yes.
Shall we take our topic?
Yes. Let's go forth.
Okay.
Boldly go, as no one meant to.
Do you have 37 personalities in your relationship?
Yes. I love this. Where did the number 37 come from? It's got to be one of the most odd. It's a number that I never think about. I don't even think I spent much time thinking about like myself at the age of 37. It was just a year that just went by.
Anna loves my random WhatsApp messages. What do you think?
Oh my God, I loved it. I was like, 37, that's amazing. What an odd, as a mathematician, if there's a mathematician out in our audience, I'd love to know, what is it about this odd number that is so special, that it's just so odd? Anyways, yes, 37.
Well, it's a bit like that. There was that film, wasn't there? What was that film? 27 Dresses or something, where the girl was just a bridesmaid 27 times and was never a bride.
Oh, God, that would be an expensive film.
Until she was, obviously, because it had a happy ending.
That's how that happens.
Sorry, I've just spoiled it.
Yeah, yeah. Spoiler alert.
I got into trouble the other day for spoiling a program that my daughter was watching. This is the problem with catch-up TV, isn't it? And on-demand TV, I guess. People are in different stages and phases of the same series.
Right,
So she's back in uni now, and I managed to spoil a program for her. I was like, I'm so sorry. You were like well ahead of me. I don't know how I'm sitting in front of you.
But anyway. Which program? Was it a big one?
It was my favorite guilty pleasure program, Married at First Sight.
Oh, yes. Wait, how can you be a spoiler? Isn't it just... Oh, now I understand.
About what happens to the PAC.
Oh, yeah. I see. Oh, ooh. Oh.
People can kind of choose to leave the experiment.
Oh. And somebody did? And your daughter didn't know?
Well, I can't say anymore now.
I can't say anymore.
I literally feel like I'm already in trouble. I mean,
Isn't it funny? I just have to say, before we dive into our hot topic, I just have to say, how many hours of labor were you in with your daughter? I think you're allowed to spoil a program for her.
Yeah, I think 21. It's quite a lot. It's like a full day. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think...
even eat as well. Like, that's the thing that's a bit disappointing. I don't, like, have anything to eat. Got to a certain point and you eat then.
Well, I mean, honestly, she's still paying off that debt, if I may say. Yeah. Get back to us when, you know, absolutely. We paid off hour 14. Not even. Oh, my gosh.
All right, we are massively derailed now. We need to get back on track with this hot topic, girl.
Yes, indeed. Focus.
Okay, so 37 personalities in your relationship.
Okay, I have at least half of those. So I am curious about whether we have the right interpretation of this hot topic, because I may be thinking something a little different. Where does your mind go when it thinks about 37 personalities?
I can tell you where mine goes, straight to perimenopause.
Oh, have I been having conversations about that?
Although some of that might be because I was having a conversation with somebody today about that very subject. I think there are certain times in your life, especially I'm going to speak as a female, with hormones that fly around, especially now, to say that, I think there are. I think there's, but even just kind of everyday life, you know, when you're faced with different pressures in your relationship or in life in general, you are going to end up, I think you do kind of often take that out on your nearest and dearest, and you're kind of there and you know that, you know, you've got that kind of love and support. Sometimes you could probably get away with a bit more than you maybe would kind of test with a friendship. And because you're there, like if you live together, then you're there and you've got kind of ready access to be able to just kind of see everything that does happen. So I think there can be times, whether that's, you know, something to do with health or hormones or life changes, having babies, all of those things, work pressures, all of those things can present a different facet of who we are as a person. So that's how I interpret it.
Ah, very cool. Okay. All right. I think also the things that have happened in our past can influence. So a lot of those, whether that's small T or large T traumas that come back to visit us, where we forget that we're safe, we're here now, this is the present, we're taken back to the past, we're put into a fight or flight mode, we're put into a defensive mode, we're brought back to our 12-year-old selves. I would say more than anything, that's where it's still the past selves, the less well-adjusted past selves that come and visit my relationships. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's interesting what you were saying before about that kind of reflection and having that conversation with your friend and saying kind of like, you know, over the last 7 or 8 months, like what has happened? And I look at our relationship, which spans longer than 7 or 8 months. And, you know, I look at some of the kind of changes that we've been through and or things that have affected us or outside influences, kind of whatever it is. And you can really see kind of, there's been some definite kind of personality changes or kind of moments of who we are that have come out in, you know, some of those situations that we've been through together.
Oh, how cool is that? So you run us through some of the personalities, or sort of how does your the personality that's coming up, whether that's yours or his, or sort of a, you know, the dual of different, you know, how does that make you show up to situations differently and show up to conflict differently or create conflict?
Yeah, so I think, you know, like you're talking about, you know, lots of the stuff that's happened around, you know, from our childhood, we all kind of have things that have come up. I'm saying we all, you know, some people have perfectly secure, happy childhoods and haven't really kind of, you know, they're not bringing a whole host of stuff to deal with into a relationship, but they may have had maybe a previous relationship. So I was working with a client recently and we were doing some stuff around kind of attachment styles. And so the primary attachment styles are secure, anxious, avoidant. And we're doing some work around that and what it meant. And she couldn't resonate with the fact that the study would suggest that most of the time this comes from your relationship with your primary caregiver then indicates how those relationships are in future. And I knew that she wasn't going to resonate with this. So we kind of had a discussion about it. But for her, where it had come up had been previous relationships. So there'd been one or two significant relationships in her life that had then kind of caused this kind of more unsettled and less kind of secure attachment styles. So I think there is that element that you then take into a relationship, which then can cause you to show up in a different way. So, you know, let's say that you're displaying an anxious attachment style because you've been in a relationship where somebody has caused you not to be able to trust them. And this, you know, if it happens in childhood, it's often the case that actually your parents could be quite kind of up and down in terms of, you know, one minute kind of really there for you, the next minute kind of, you know, almost leaving you to fend for yourself and not being able to tend to your emotional needs and help you to kind of self-regulate, those sorts of things. But this can happen kind of if you've had a really traumatic relationship, you know, in with a kind of significant person, that as a result of that and in that kind of trust has been broken down and eroded, you can start to display some real kind of anxious attachment styles that then come out in your relationship.
And then reinforce each other by creating the very loss of a relationship potentially fear.
Yeah.
Reinforcing the insecurity. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think what this kind of topic really makes me think about is, because I think often, you know, we need to look at self, we need to look at who we are, how we contribute into a relationship. It's all well and good saying my partner's done this, they just need to change, they need to have a look at themselves, you know, they need to examine their 37 personalities,
they need to go for coaching.
But you know, we will have things that are happening for us. We will have ways where maybe we're not that predictable in a relationship, and this can cause, that may cause anxiety in others, it may cause avoidance, withdrawal. You know, we do get this chain reaction that happens, and this is why, you know, we talk about relationship dynamics, because it isn't, nothing's happening in a vacuum. It is, we're kind of having these reactions with each other. Sometimes they'll be positive, sometimes neutral, sometimes negative. But if we can take a step back and say, well, actually, you know, what have I, do I show up consistently in the relationship? Do I, you know, if my partner kind of wants to have a conversation with me, am I always there? Do I always turn towards them? Do I always give them the time of day? Or sometimes, am I a bit shorter with them? Do I kind of, you know, ignore them or just think they'll kind of stop talking in a minute, it's fine?
Yeah.
You know, what? How is that reaction? What is it that I do? How do I respond to my partner? So it could be just something like that. If you take a step back and examine that and say, well, actually, maybe sometimes I am a bit snappy, or sometimes I haven't got the time, or sometimes I don't acknowledge that they want to have some attention, and, you know, I'll brush it off and I'll just walk away and carry on doing what I was doing.
Oh, yes. So going through flashbacks.
Guilty.
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean, okay, 37 personalities, yes, but I would like to kind of just imagine, okay, there's kind of two dominant ones. One of them I'm really proud of. It's the way I show up. It's very optimistic. It's very loving. It's very nurturing. It's really showing up. It's bringing the energy. It's a building anabolic energy.
Yeah.
My dominant personality that I'm not proud of, which has shown up in past relationships, the reason why it's so important is because I, when I'm in that mood state, let's just say, it comes from a place of hurt and fear, like absolute terror. Mm-hmm. And I think I am so easy to read when I'm running with that personality, and so easy to soothe. It makes me wonder, like, and what it is it's a shutdown, a total shutdown, quiet. I withdraw affection. I withdraw eye contact. It's like, I can't say something. I'm not trying to punish my partner, but I'm so hurt and terrified that I'm kind of waiting for them to come to knock on my shell and get me out of my shell.
Yeah. And you're not alone in that. You know, I think if all of us, if we're honest, you know, we'll say, well, yeah, I've done that. I still do it. I need to work on that. And it could, you know, that could be a starting position, is just to say, all right, if I have spotted that as being something that's a tendency that I do when I'm hurt and I'm suffering, mm-hmm. It's down to me to try and break that cycle. And I may ask for some help with that. You know, you don't have to do it on your own. You know, you could say, look, do you know what? I'm really trying to work on this area, and I can see that it's not good for me. It's not good for you. I want to get a bit more consistent than this, and I want to try and address mm-hmm. it. You know, could you help me? You know, would you be able to do, and then, you know, make a request? I'm going to really try and do this. Mm. Could you do that? And then maybe between the two of us, we can start to kind of break some of that down, because it's learned behavior. You've learned how to do that. We've all learned this in the past. Yeah. We've learned that is the best way to kind of cope as we see it at that time, you know, when we're learning those patterns. Mm. But the more you can kind of unpick it and create some new patterns of behavior and start to create those connections in the brain, then the more you can kind of not react and show up that way.
I think so. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's a two to tango. I will say, though, that in unpicking this particular personality type, like whenever somebody withdraws or stonewalls, I think I have to imagine, and I've only been doing this recently, hopping over the proverbial side of the fence to look at myself when I'm in that state. And I assume that I'm just a little teddy bear, just a little quiet teddy bear, like, oh, she's just sad. You just need to give her a hug. Ask her what's wrong. I'm terrifying. Yeah. I'm absolutely intimidating and terrifying. Yeah. No average human being would poke the bear. So, and I have to understand that I'm not in a lovable state.
Oh, you see, that sounds like a challenge to me.
Yeah. Yes. Totally.
Yeah, I'm not saying in the moment you're going to be able to have those conversations and do that. The work happens before you get to that point. It's saying, okay, I know I have this pattern.
Right.
How do I shine a light on it? How do I then get some sort of strategy to help me get out of that quicker? And then the shorter you can make that time to the point that eventually, you know, you just stop going into it because you just think there's no point here. And I'm not saying that's easy, right? Like,
no.
8 years in, still working on my relationship.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, and I think though I own the big share of this, because I got to pop my own self out when I'm feeling terrified and shut down and I'm avoiding eye contact. I'm terrified the other person is going to abandon me and leave me. The last thing that I want to do is show a gesture of love or communication, because what if that person slaps me away and rejects me, right? That's the big fear. At the same time, because I'm so freaking terrifying, I have to make the first move. Like, I really do own that. And, you know, I love that you say that it is a two to tango, and you can bring your partner in to say,
yeah,
could you help out? At the same time, I own 90% of the effort. Like, maybe what I can say is that if I'm feeling like really kind of in my shell and I make a little mm-hmm. gesture, that, you know, if my partner could really kind of and that scene as an improv artist, I'd be like, yeah, I see you getting out there, girl. Yeah, here's some love to add to that recipe.
Because often we don't do that. We go, well, you're not trying hard enough. You know, this is a conversation that goes on. Well, you've really hurt me. So you need to do more than that little tiny gesture that you've just done there. A cup of tea's not going to cut the water. Like,
So, okay, this is the thing.
And there starts the negative dance.
You got it. So here's the thing. And this might be your cup of tea. If your partner does something particular that is meant to chill the ice or to thaw the ice, it can't, this is a wonderful ask to be like, if it is that cup of tea, maybe it is the special, maybe it's the like the special blend of tea. Maybe you've put some ginger in it or made a little special effort because you've been in this shitty personality all the day and you're just wanting to break the ice with your partner. Is that if when you're bringing out that tea, that your partner's like, oh, this is the special tea, whatever that tea is for you. Yeah. And you're right. Like, we punish our partners and then we kind of give them these prison sentences like, oh, no, you still got to start, keep paying off the debt. Not there yet.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we'll punish ourselves as well in the process. So,
oh, yes. Yeah.
The one thing I would add to this discussion is it's okay to have personality.
Ah, okay. Yes.
Because there's a danger, isn't there, that you try and neutralize yourself so much that you've just got nothing left of you.
Right. Yes. Yes. Hold on. I don't know what that's like. No, but it's true. No, it's true. I just can't show up as anybody else. But no, I mean, it is, I think to your point, actually doing the relationship desk, which is not sharing what you need, can turn into this, I'm okay with anything thing. And that is, that's a very dangerous precedent to set. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't want to become like totally vanilla as a person, you know. You love the fact that there's so many different dimensions to human beings. That's what makes us so fascinated.
Yes.
You know, about each other. And yeah, that's what makes it so interesting.
Yes. And it's a two to tango. So here's the thing. What I realized, and I'm still learning, I'm sure I'll look back on my current self and be like, wow, she didn't know anything. But not only is it where you, like, it is up to me to be able to manage my personalities and not be shitty. I'm thinking of my lovely friends, just don't be shitty. So I can minimize being shitty. That's what I can bring to the table. But I have super realized that not everybody gets my secret sauce, and I shouldn't be with somebody who doesn't get my secret sauce. If they don't like my sauce, if they don't like barbecue, and they want honey like mustard, go off and find honey mustard. I should not get married to somebody who doesn't like barbecue sauce. But if they like barbecue sauce, it's amazing. I just, all the ways in which I was just used to being really a drag on somebody because they just didn't like my sauce. You know, when I met my current man, he was delighted. I was like, what? You like barbecue? He was like, oh, love it, love it. And he just, it was just a natural thing. It didn't try very hard. He just was delighted by my quirky personalities.
Yeah.
And so I can strive to not be shitty, but I also need to like find somebody who likes what I cook in the kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, be you, but just don't be a dick with it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And certainly don't try and punish your partner.
We do all the time because hurt people and misery loves company. And we just love people to feel sad along with us. It's true. It's true. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, that should put the personalities to bed for a bit.
Go and dig out your 37 personalities and see which ones are working for you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right. I am going to move us to a question.
Oh, yes. Let's meander over.
Today's question. My girlfriend wants us to get matching tattoos, but I hate them. What should I do?
Okay, can I be honest?
Yes. What are you not?
What are we not?
3 years in.
I know, right? Right? Like, Sarah, can I be straight up with you? And you're like, when have you not let your flag fly?
I haven't seen this side of your personality.
Honest? Doc Sass? What? It's not in the name.
Come on then, hit me with it.
If anybody wants to make some money in the next 20, 30 years, it is to set up tattoo removal parlors next to all these tattoo parlors, because like it is so cool to see like everybody with their arm sleeves and their like tattoos across their shoulders in like foreign languages and all sorts of stuff. And it's a really amazing form of self-expression when you're young. But
you know, there's a program, it's called Tattoo Fixers or something like that. And I was never kind of like a watcher, but you know, sometimes you stumble across something on TV.
Mm.
So I started watching it. And there were these two girls that had been to, I don't know, some kind of teen hotspot in Europe, and where they do actually still tattoo people late at night who have had too much to drink.
Oh.
Which I think should not be allowed. But anyway.
Oh.
So these two girls had two things tattooed on their feet that you would need both of them to be stood next to each other to make sense of it. So one had chicken and the other had nugget.
Oh my god. I'm just thinking of like being a 65-year-old grandmother, like, you know, out in a summer day, and our grandkids are like, nugget, what does that mean? Yeah.
Well, why have you got chicken tattooed on your foot?
Oh my god. Seemed like a good idea at the time when you were in Lisbon. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
So yeah.
That's crazy. You know, and the thing is, and it's a beautiful form of self-expression. I think everybody should be able to like live at large for the most part, with the exception of like very hard drugs. That does take a toll on the body. And I, as a physician, I'm like, oh, please just don't. But anyways, other than that, like tattoos, everyone's allowed to be a silly young person and do things that, you know, they kind of would not do if they were young, older. But tattoos are hard because they do take quite a bit to remove. Not impossible, but they do take it quite a bit to remove. But at the same time, like, there's people who, like myself, who don't get tattooed because I just saw myself at 50 and didn't think there was anything that I would care much at 50 that I really cared at 22. At the same time, it really is a powerful form of self-expression. So I think it's important. And for some, it really, there's people who will use tattoo as a form of grief or memorializing a loved one, perhaps a child or somebody who's passed on. And there's others who really love tattoo as a form of symbolism, sharing in relationship. And so I do take this seriously, even though I'm like, oh God, if you want to make money, open up a tattoo removal parlor. But this question comes from, like, it sounds like this is not a frivolous ask. This guy's partner really does want matching tattoos.
I don't know. I went to a different space. I was like,
oh,
this is your girlfriend? Like, you're not even married?
Oh.
Why would you even contemplate this?
Oh, you're like, no. right.
I can see
and a tattoo. Yeah.
I get what you're saying. You know, this kind of like expression of love. Oh, we love each other. We're going to get matching tattoos. How romantic.
Right.
What happens in 2-3 years' time when, you know, if you're not together anymore, you've got to, what, find another Christie to...
With the spelling of Y on the end, not IE. I know. Totally. Oh my gosh. Okay. Very good point. Well, but actually, this is a great question. It's a proxy question to how serious is this relationship for me?
Yeah. I think it's a real opportunity to try and practice some strong communication, isn't it? Because there's a few things. You know, one is you've got a difference there. Now, the difference could be, I don't know what colour you paint your living room wall, but it's not. You know, the difference is I want us to have a permanent reminder on our bodies of each other and you don't. So it's quite a strong difference. Then there's very personal preferences, I think, about kind of tattoos. I think you're either in the yes camp or you're in the kind of no camp when it comes to your personal choice about what you want to do, and they are firmly in different camps, yeah. So it's a good opportunity to really practice some kind of communication skills and understand things from each other's perspectives, because, you know, you might shift your view on it based on what your partner's going to tell you. But I do think the other side of it is kind of, you know, how realistic is it? How sensible is it to get a tattoo to somebody who you haven't, you know, just declared a kind of full permanent commitment with, which is what we do when we say we're going to get married.
Yeah, no, that's true. And also, like, the cool thing about this is that this person, whether they will even get a tattoo ever, it's very clear this is not a decision they take lightly. Some people get tattoos like they wake up in the morning and they're like, and for them, it's a very easy choice. It's the same as like moving in together. For some people, no big deal. I've known you for two weeks. We'll move in. Other people are very same as marriage. Yeah. Some people will elope. Oh yeah, I've just known you for 2 months. Others are petrified at the magnitude of the choice. So whatever it be, the cool thing is this is actually coming headlong into who are you in my life and where do we stand on the road together? Is this a choice that we may make one day? Is it the choice that we'll make today? Mm-hmm. And so I think what's really important is to, it's never just the tattoo. I don't think this is about a tattoo. I think this is, and it could even be the partner's bid for a conversation about where are we? Oh, let's go get matching tattoos. And maybe the subliminal thought is it'll make this guy think like, how serious am I? Where are we going?
I definitely opt for just asking the question in the first place.
Ah, yes.
And not going down this route of kind of, if it is that, that's driving it, you know, going down this route of kind of the, you know, the subtle art of kind of trying to get the information that you want with asking a completely different question.
I think it's really important to be like, you know what, this is a great opportunity. Let's hold off on the tattoos and have some long conversations about where we are in life, where we're going, and do we see this as a long-term commitment? Yeah. Wonderful segue.
Because the tattoo is a long commitment.
I mean, honestly, like it kind of is. It's one of the biggest, I mean, as my lovely friend says, is that marriage is the most financially risky thing you'll ever do in your life. And it's true. But a tattoo is kind of up there in terms of permanence and potential consequences. It really is. Yeah. So no matter what, should never be on your face. Just saying. Just don't get face tats. You know, the other thing too, if it is just a tattoo, if all this is, if they have a talk and they're like, if she's like, oh no, I don't want to get married anytime soon. I just want to get a tattoo with you. It's like, all right. Well, maybe then that tattoo is something small. So, I mean, if you know, whatever it may be, is that you can always find a compromise zone. But yes, recognize what this bid is standing in for and what the question really is.
Mm. And sometimes there will be things that you just both disagree on and there is no compromise. And this may be it for them.
Yes. Yeah. And that's okay. And that's the thing, too. Like, we shouldn't be scared of conflict. We shouldn't be scared of finding out there's a values clash. And ultimately, we shouldn't be scared if we find out something, which is the trial period, right? Like, dating is, we're not sure yet. And so if we find out that there's something about a tattoo that represents a, or not even just the tattoo, but the way of approaching this sort of decision, or you know, philosophies on life, if these are fundamentally different, maybe this is not a relationship that has long-term legs, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's much better to discover that, you know, one person being a tattoo, loves motorbikes, loves like taking risks and so forth, and the other person is like, no, more measured and likes a good book and so forth. Like maybe those two people, they may be able to find common ground, but maybe there's just fundamental differences. And the conversation starts with the tattoo. What do you think of tattoos?
Time to get some talking done.
Yeah. You know what? Like this would be a great, you know, those intimacy cards. There's several kinds that you can get, ones that are meant to really spur on conversation. Conversation starters and initiators that are beyond like, how was your day today? Because we do so much silly talk about like transactional. What did you do? What did you eat?
Yeah.
I could see this card being in that deck of 50 intimacy cards. Like, what's your view on tattoos?
Yeah.
It's a great one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole host of stuff that questions that we can ask that just go kind of a little bit deeper. Shouldn't be afraid to ask them.
No, gosh. What would you recommend as a compassionate, open, curious, and welcoming response? That if you're like a hell no tattoo at this point in time, but you want to, you know, honor your partner for bringing it up, like what's something that you would respond with?
I think it's just getting curious and really exploring it. You know, what is it about tattoos that you, you know, would be interested in? What would that mean to you? what sort of tattoo are you thinking of? You know, really get some understanding, get some kind of perspective, some insight from them directly, rather than just kind of making it up in your own mind or going back with a kind of hell no, that's not for me.
Yeah. I think the thing too, and when I coach, I think what's important is asking curious questions, but I think the person who said, hey, let's get a tattoo, they've made a big, brave step, probably, because there's something about, like, I really give a lot of points to the partner here who ventured this, because somewhere along the line, she's actually saying, you're important to me. I want you on my body forever. There is something, you know, so it's really vulnerable.
Or they're just making a kind of, you know, as you say, some people are very impulsive and just think, oh, this would be a great idea.
Right. She could be. But let's just give her the benefit of the doubt and say she's actually bidding to try to say something. When you're responding to this, she's gone way out on a limb, I think. There's a possibility. I think it's important to kind of really show your cards. Curious questions are great, but I think it's really important to put part of yourself out there when you're responding to this. You know, asking, well, what do you mean? Like, what kind of tattoo? What were you thinking? Et cetera. Is you may say, like, wow, I've never thought of having a tattoo. I've been terrified of them before. And I'm also terrified just to put something permanently on my body. So I'd love to hear more from you. But like, I find that scary. I think it's always important when you go into a conversation like this, when somebody has been vulnerable, for you to be vulnerable a little bit. Just
Absolutely. But I think if you go straight off the bat and just kind of say, well, no, that's not for me, or I feel terrified by them, or the danger is then you instantly get into kind of battle zone straight away, because then they get really defensive about why it is such a good idea. So I think that that's the potential danger by not kind of starting gently, easing in, just having a conversation. And asking for their perspective first before you offer yours. I think you absolutely should offer your position, but it's how you do it.
Right. Okay.
And if you go straight in with that message of kind of no, even if it is done softly, you can still then end up getting into that kind of, you know, battle zone where you didn't really want to be there.
Yes. Okay. All right. We see eye to eye.
It's complicated business.
It is. It really, really is. Yes, it is. Not everybody makes it. That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I think that rounds us off nicely for the podcast today.
I have to say we did really well on a combined, 4 hours of sleep between both of us last night? I think we did well.
Probably. Yeah, and I think I got most of those.
I should say I probably napped for an hour in the midday. But yeah, no, I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Geordie Lass and Doc Sass can be sleep deprived and still running strong. I'll bet you will listen to this. I'll edit this and I'll be like, well, that was weird. But that's the cool thing about our podcast. It's not exactly polished. We are who we are when we are. Yeah.
That's why people tune in.
It really is. Absolutely. Never a dull moment.
All right. So what does the rest of the week hold for you?
Oh, good question. You know what's interesting, and I'll maybe bring this up on future podcasts. I am investigating the history of my family here in Greece. And I do have to say, talking of love, I found a record in Cardiff of my 19-year-old grandmother, who wrote this letter of declaration to the Greek Orthodox Church saying, I want to marry this man and that's why I want to get baptized. It was a huge surprise. I thought maybe she was baptized as a young person, but she was baptized in order to marry her man.
Oh, now that is romantic. See, that's going above and beyond.
Right? I know. And to see her cursive writing in 1941 with this innocent, lovelorn. Oh my gosh, it was just so touching to see that. So I'm going down the journey of the love and the loss of my grandparents' journey, and hopefully finding patchwork my family's history here in Greece.
Oh, nice. That's a nice thing to do.
I know. Now that sounds good. Sorry. And I will ask the same question. Like, what does the week hold for you? Maybe it's a bit different.
Nothing as glamorous as that.
Oh my gosh.
I am back on my fitness trail, so I'm trying to get back in shape again.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And avoid the wind and the rain and the hail that's supposed to be heading our way.
My gosh. Okay. Because bathing suits are upon us soon, kind of.
Well,
it doesn't feel like it.
I literally don't think that's ever going to happen this year.
I know. I bet it will. It will. It seems gray. It seems rainy. But these are all feeding the flowers.
They are indeed.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Well, good luck on your health journey. And there are many people alongside you waking up from the winter being like, oh my God, you know, coming out of the sweatpants and the sweatshirts, like, what? Meaning my form-fitting jeans don't fit? What? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Till next time.
Till next time.
So that's it for another week of Geordie Lass and Doc Sass. We hope you've enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed chatting. Get in touch and share your questions for relationship remedies and any hot topics you want us to cover. If you need help navigating all things relationships, Anna and Sarah are available for one-on-one coaching support. Email info@geordielass.com. Please remember to like, share, subscribe if you've enjoyed listening. And if you've not, how on earth have you made it this far? I promise we'll try harder next time.